a rehash of something that I said 2 years ago. And it's very similar to something that I said 2 years ago. I'm not even going to move around. It's the last time the Parshas Vayakhel and Pekudei were separated. And I feel the lesson with that can be gleaned from it is a big enough lesson that we can say it again. But if it seems deja vu-ish to some of you, then I apologize that it is something that I've said before. This week's parsha we learn that B'Tzalel did everything that Moshe Rabbeinu had commanded him to do, and that HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded Moshe, B'Tzalel did it. Asher tziva oso Moshe in ksiv kan. It doesn't say that Moshe commanded him. Alakol asher tziva Hashem, that's Moshe. Everything that Kodesh Baruch Hu commanded Moshe. I mean, B'Tzalel sort of did his own thing. It's not what Moshe told him to do, but rather what God told Moshe to do. So what does that mean? So Rashi understands the following: Filu dvarim shelo amar lo rabo. Even the things that Moshe Rabbeinu did not say, he schema daito l'mashenem l'moshe misinai. B'Tzalel was able to figure out what Hashem said to Moshe, rather than what Moshe said to B'Tzalel to do. What happened? Ki Moshe tziva l'B'Tzalel Moshe Rabbeinu said to B'Tzalel lasos tchila kelim v'achkach mishkan. Moshe Rabbeinu told him, I want you to make the kelim first, the Aron Kodesh, the Shulchan, the Menorah. Make those first, and then I want you to make the Mishkan. Kelim and then Mishkan, said Moshe Rabbeinu. Amar lo B'Tzalel. So B'Tzalel said back to Moshe Rabbeinu, Minig ha'olam lasos tchila bayis v'achkach mishkan kelim v'sofer. The minig of the world is to first make the house, you make the Mishkan first, and then you make the kelim. It makes no sense. You're telling me to do the kelim and then the Mishkan. And I think it makes more sense to make the Mishkan and then the kelim. So what should be done? Amar lo, said Moshe Rabbeinu back to B'Tzalel, Kach shamati mipi HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's exactly the way I heard it from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem did tell me, make the Mishkan first and then make the kelim. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said. I told you the opposite. But that's what I heard. Shema B'Tzal El Hayisa. Maybe you were in the shadow of God. You were listening on the side. Maybe you had heard that on the side. This is how HaKadosh Baruch Hu told it to me. This is the way it's supposed to be. And that's what he did. HaMishkan Tchila V'Akaz Asa Kelim. He made the Mishkan and then he made the Kelim. It's all based on the Gemara Brachos and Daf Nun Hei. But what a strange machlokas. Meaning in the beginning, it says, he did as kosher tziva Hashem as Moshe. He did what Hashem commanded Moshe to do. He didn't do what Moshe commanded him to do. He didn't do what Moshe told him to do. He only did what Hashem commanded Moshe, because what Hashem commanded Moshe and what Moshe commanded him were two separate things. So what's pshat? How does that work? Number one, why would you question what Moshe Rabbeinu was telling you? Why would you question that? If Moshe Rabbeinu told you to make the kelim first and then the Mishkan, you're going to say that that doesn't make any sense? Why wouldn't that be called Mora Halacha B'Pnei Rabbo? You're poskening in front of your Rebbe. How is that not poskening in front of your Rebbe? That's number one. Number two, why would Moshe have switched around the tzivui that was given to him by HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Hashem told him to do something, and he switched it around. Was this a toast? A mistake at Moshe? I mean, it was part of Chas V'Shalom. Are there other mistakes that we don't know about? How did he mess this up? How is there such a mess up when it came to this? Number three, since when does logic defeat a gzera shava? Let's say B'Tzalel had no idea what was told over to Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu told him, make the kelim and then make the Mishkan. So B'Tzalel said, that's not logical. Who cares if it's not logical? Is shatness logical? Is bas b'kolov logical? I don't understand. You need it to be logical in order to do it? Why would B'Tzalel question that? If that's the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted it, then do what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to do. You don't make up your own svara and say, well, my svara is better than God's. Because he thought this is God's svara. What does that mean? Number four. In the end, it doesn't make any sense. The Mishkan was finished on Hanukkah, but it wasn't put together until Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Meaning, they finished the boards, they finished the sockets, they finished the kelim. Everything was done on Hanukkah. And it sat around, not being put in the house, until Rosh Chodesh Nisan. So anyway, at the end of the day, even if you create the kelim first, you don't need a house to put it in. There's no need for that house. So what's he saying? Oh, it seems like it has to be that. That makes no sense. Why should it be that way? These questions are big. And the truth is, there are many, many mefarshim that discuss it. And there are many mefarshim that give different answers. Some sofer has 5 different answers to this question in this parsha alone, let alone what he has in other places. The Mefarshi Rashi have pages upon pages about this. The Busha Ora, the Be'er Basad, the Gur Aryeh, the Mizrahi, the Matzkel David, they all go on about these ideas, trying to figure out what's going on over here, trying to say it. But I'm going to add Anias Daisy to the mix over here to try to tell you something that I think should be Moshe Rabbeinu's Shita versus the rest of the world's Shita. And a reason why Moshe Rabbeinu held the way that he did, and what we can glean from that, what we can take from that for ourselves. Moshe's Shita in life was Nasa ben Ishma. Nasa ben Ishma means we'll do it, and then we'll listen to an idea, we'll ask questions later. That was his Shita throughout life. We do whatever our Kadosh Baruch Hu tells us to do, we're not going to do anything else, almost to a fault. This is a mila that Malachim can get to, a mila that the people at the time of Moshe Rabbeinu can get to, but not a mila that normal people have any shaitas to. He allowed, remember, a child who was placed as a brick in the wall. A child who was a brick in the wall. He allowed that child to be taken out, or he took him out himself, and allowed that child to grow up. He said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem, why are you killing the kids by putting them in the wall? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Moshe Rabbeinu, I'm getting rid of the thorns. But if you want to, you can see what's going to end up happening. In the end, he saw Micha. You know that Micha was the one involved with the pestle, with the idol. Micha was born from that. Dustin and Abiram were 2 children that were drowning in the Nile River. And Moshe Rabbeinu said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, why are you drowning these children in the river? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I'm getting rid of the bad people. But if you want, you can check it. And he checked it, and he saw that Dustin and Abiram came out of that. He saved Dustin and Abiram out of the river itself. And obviously, both of those things didn't work out so well. The Arab Rav, Kadosh Baruch Hu said, Moshe Rabbeinu, you don't have to take anybody. And the Arab Rav were taken anyway, and they were brought in to join Klal Yisrael. The Meraglim, Shlach Lecha, if you want to send them, go ahead and send them. I'm not suggesting that you send them. And Moshe Rabbeinu's Shita is not an Ishmael. We will do it, we're going to succeed, it's going to work out. I'll make sure that kid who's a brick in the wall is not supposed to be good. That the children that are drowning in the river, that when we send out Meraglim, and even when we have a situation where there's many, many people who want to join Klal Yisrael, it'll work out. It's going to work out. It's going to be perfectly fine with us. They'll live with us, they'll see what they have to do, they'll become perfect people. Obviously, none of these things worked out the right way. So what was the Shita? What did Moshe Rabbeinu hold that allowed these things to happen? So Shita is based on the Gemara Brachos Daf Lamed Gimel. The Gemara says, well, it's really a pasuk. Pasuk says that Moshe Rabbeinu says to Klal Yisrael, Mo Hashem Elokecha Shol Mincha, Kim LiYira. What does God ask from you to do anything but Yira? That's what he wants. He wants Yira. Now, the end of the pasuk, the Gemara ignores. But what does God want from you? He wants you to fear God. So the Gemara says, but the Yira Milsa Zutrasi. Is Yira such an easy thing that anybody could do it? Well, Yira is so easy that anybody could just get up and automatically will fear God? And the Gemara answers, in. Legabe Moshe, Yira Milsa Zutrasi. For Moshe Rabbeinu, Yira is a very small thing. For a person like Moshe, yes, Yira is nothing. Yira is absolutely nothing. If you had a person like Moshe Rabbeinu around, you would also have Yira. You would also have that awe of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When you saw a person like Moshe Rabbeinu, you had to be around that. It just affected you to such a way. Moshe Rabbeinu had a Havamina that his Yira was so strong, the way that he had Yira for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that it rubbed off on the people around him. And if he brings in the Arab Rav, they'll also have Yira. And if he brings in Dustin Abiram, they'll also have Yira. And if he brings in Micha, they'll also have Yira. And if he helps the Meraglim, they'll also have Yira. His assumption was being dan lechav schus on Klal Yisrael to allow them to be the people that he knew they could be. I know how great these people are. I know that they could be even greater. And as long as they stick to me, then everything will be okay. They didn't. These people didn't. The Erev didn't stick to him. Dustin Abiram didn't stick to him. Micha didn't stick to him. Unfortunately, the Meraglim didn't stick to him except for Kalid and Yoshua, who found the connection to Moshe Rabbeinu. Kalid through Maris Machpelah, and Yoshua through the extra yud, the add-on that his Rebbe gave to him right before he left. But he thought that 100% the people should have. Yira is nothing to them. It's nothing to me. And when they're around me, what should be the problem? As long as they connect to Moshe Rabbeinu, it should be fine. There was a level that this Dora Midbar had of Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Sami, where they literally saw what had fallen in front of their eyes and they couldn't deal with anything else. He allowed Dora Midbar, for the most part, take away the little individuals here and there, Dora Midbar to be the greatest generation that Klal Yisrael has ever seen. There's never been a generation like that. A generation that never sinned for 39 years. A generation that went from the 49th level of Tuma to the level to accept Matan Torah. He brought Klal Yisrael to the level of Nasiv and Ishma. He brought Klal Yisrael to Kriyas Yamsuf to see what no Navi was ever able to see. Moshe Rabbeinu's level was tremendous, and he knew it. That if people stick with me, if people are around me, then Yira will be nothing for them. It will be a Milsa Zutrasihi. They'll be able to only do good. They'll never think of doing something bad. It's going to be a different level altogether. And they were. These people were on the apex of human greatness. There was nobody like them. Nobody that compares to anybody like them. The problem is, there's always the exceptions to the rule. There always is a Dothan and Aviram that's thrown into the mix. In the beginning of the Parsha, mentions that there's 1775 pieces of silver. The Medrash Rabbah says, it seems to be hinted to by Rashi, that they didn't know what they did with the 1775 pieces of silver. The 300,000 shekel of kesef, that went toward the Adonim. That went toward the sockets. So that's fine, that's done. The 100 kikar went for the 300,000 silver piece of shekel. Every kikar is 3,000 shekel. So you have 100 kikar times 3,000 shekel, that's 300,000. So 300,000, whatever it was, shekel of kesef that they had, and they're becoming the sockets. He said to Moshe Rabbeinu, and it makes sense. What happened to the other 1,775? There were 603,550 people in Klal Yisrael. That's 301,775 shekelim that they donated. Where'd those 1775 go? And says the Medrash, that what ended up happening is he forgot. 1775, he forgot. And it ended up being they were the hooks. A Baskol came out and said it was the hooks on the outside of the Mishkan. So what Wolfson says, an unbelievable thing. He says, the people that were outside the Mishkan were the people in Klal Yisrael that didn't connect to Moshe Rabbeinu. Because yeah, there are people that connect to Moshe Rabbeinu, and there are people that don't. There are people that just don't. There were 1,775 neshamos, 3,550 people that had no shaykhus to Moshe Rabbeinu. That's why the Gemara tells us that Moshe was equal to, you know how many people was equal to? 600,000 people. 600,000. Not 603,550. 600,000. The extra 3,550 were not connected to him. There's always going to be people like that. The famous line from Abraham Lincoln. I don't want to misquote, but it's not a Maamar Chazal, so I guess it's okay. So I'll butcher it, and I'll let you figure it out on your own. You're not going to be loved by all the people all the time. You'll be loved by all the people some of the time, and some of the people all of the time, but you will never be loved by all of the people all of the time. Okay? Something like that. And it's true. Even Moshe Rabbeinu had his detractors. There was always a Korach. There's always the Dothan of Aviram. There's always somebody else who's on the side, the Erev Rav, who are always on the side who are not connected to Moshe Rabbeinu. Sometimes they need to be prepared differently. They need to work on it in a different way. You can't go into an NCSY convention and jump in and tell those kids, here's a Ketos HaKoshen. Here's a Ketos. Let's learn up a Sukhya and shut them. Let's learn up this Sukhya. They're not going to get it. They need a preparation. They need something leading into it. You can't just throw them in and just say, like, it's going to be fine. There's some people, you know what? By some people, maybe you could. And there are other people who can't. They need that hakana. They need that little bit of preparation to bring you in there. Otherwise, you're playing tennis against a brick wall. Play tennis against a brick wall, it doesn't work out well. You won't be able to beat a wall of tennis. It's not going to happen. The Erev Rav, Micha, Dothan and Aviram, they needed Hachana. They needed to prepare themselves. They had to build themselves up to come up to the level. They weren't ready for the level of commitment that Moshe Rabbeinu expected from them. They weren't ready for that. Moshe Rabbeinu's assumption, he's down the chaschus, is that everybody's ready for this. As soon as they come into the fray, as soon as they're with everybody else, we'll all go through. And for the most part, Moshe Rabbeinu was right. For the most part, there were 600,000 people who were with him, who were with them at every step of the way. But there's always the 3,550 that just don't work. In that way, these people were so far away from Moshe Rabbeinu that Dustin and Aviram were able to say to him, "Ha'ene on Hashem ha'im tenakir. Even if you blind our eyes, blind us, we still wouldn't go with you. We're done. We don't want to have anything to do with you ever again." They couldn't handle what Moshe Rabbeinu was giving them. They couldn't handle it. The Kalim of the Beis HaMikdash referenced the Torah. Not just because the Aron Kodesh is the grand scheme of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's plan, and the menorah stands for Chokhmas HaTorah, and the Shulchan stands for Parnasa Tum Torah, not only because of the Mizbeach HaKadosh is the way of getting it up, not just because of that. The pshat is that the Kalim represents the ideas that you should have inside your head. The Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadoshim is like the brain of a human being, the Mishkan being the body of the human being, and inside the head, the mindset has to be revolved around Torah, and those Kalim represent that mindset. Those Kalim. So the Kalim, what are the Kalim? The Kalim is the Torah. The Mishkan represents the Guf. In order to get a person into it and to make him learn, Moshe Rabbeinu said, "Learn Torah, your body will come with it. Nasa, do the Torah, do what it says, and then Nishma, your body will hear it, your body will adapt. You'll figure it out as time goes on. It'll be different as time goes on. It's not going to be the same. This is what we're going to do. We're going to sit and learn, and then afterward, we'll go ahead and we'll figure out what we're going to do with our bodies. Make the Kalim first, and then create the Mishkan." Moshe Rabbeinu was told by a Kadosh Baruch Hu there are people not like this. And Moshe Lishitato held that they all said Nasa V'Nishma. If they all said it with me, and they were all by Kriyas Yamsuf, and they were all involved the whole way through, 100% they can handle it. So let's give it to them, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You think, Hashem, that it has to be Mishkan and then Kalim. They have to work on their guf. They have to build themselves up. They have to prepare themselves and only then get the Kalim and only then learn Torah. They don't need that. Said Moshe Rabbeinu said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They don't need that. We can do this. We can do this. Let's build the Kalim first and then the Mishkan. Let's do it in that fashion and let's push the Jews to the next level. And in a way it worked. For 600,000 people, it worked. It was the Kalim and then the Mishkan for them. But Bezalel saw that radical idea of Moshe Rabbeinu and said, it's not by everybody. It can't be. There has to be some people that are the other way. I think it should be Mishkan first, work on the Guf, and then the Kalim, and then work on learning Torah. Improve yourself and then get yourself up there. And Moshe Rabbeinu said, Bezalel El HaYisa, you were in the shadow of God. You heard what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, and I'm masking that that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. I think we should push the people further. Let's push them further. Let's do more. You can do this. You can do the Kalim and then the Mishkan. We can do this. And in the end, although Bezalel was right, they did like Moshe Rabbeinu. This is not an issue of psak. This wasn't an issue of a Xeris HaKasuv, so to speak. It was an idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought forth to Moshe Rabbeinu, saying, they're not going to be shy for this. And Moshe Rabbeinu said, we are shy for this. And in a way, this is Adam Arishon before the Chet. God gave Adam Arishon the most Nebuch job in the world. He set him down in a garden that had no enemies and nothing that could ever go wrong. And said, take care of this for me. What do I do? Just sort of sit there. And Adam Arishon felt like a Nebuch. Are you giving me this job? I want a harder job. Says Hashem, you can't handle the harder job. Adam Arishon said, I want the harder job. And in a way, the Nefesh HaChaim says, he ate the fruit on purpose so that he could get the more difficult job. Moshe Rabbeinu is doing the same thing. He's eating the fruit on purpose in order to get to the more difficult position. I know it's going to be hard with the Arab Rav. I know it's going to be hard with Michal. I know it's going to be hard with Dustin Aviram. And I know it's going to be hard with the Meraglim. But we can do this. He's pushing himself. He's saying we can. We can do this. You push yourself even further. We can do it. He's pushing. And the Kaddish Baruch said, I don't think it's a great idea. If you want to, you can do it. If you think you can handle it, you can do it. And in the end, that's what they did. They made the Kalim first, and the Mishkan on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. It's a brilliant, brilliant concept of what Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to do versus what Bezalel wanted to do. And nowadays, for our generation, for the Ikvasid of Mashiach, if we want to call it that, there's no question we have to pass him like Bezalel. We're so weak. Sometimes there are individuals that can push themselves further. But we don't have a Moshe Rabbeinu around that's spurning us on, that's allowing us to have that yira, where the yira is automatic, where it's a milsa zutrasihi. We don't have that anymore. So nowadays, we have to build up our midos before we become Balei Torah, before we become people that learn Torah. We have to work on ourselves and say, what kind of people are we? And then once we're good people, once we're people, that people look at and say, that's a good person. I want to be like that person. That's when we really delve into the Torah itself. We can really understand what the Torah wants from us. In a way, we're passing like Bezalel. Can we do like Moshe Rabbeinu? Well, Bobby, we can do like Moshe Rabbeinu. But the likelihood, in all likelihood, we're paskening like Bezalel, and that's why I think the Rashi ends. The Chenas, that's what he did. Hamishkan Skri Levakach Asa Kelim. Even though in reality, it's not what happened. The Kelim and the Mishkan were made, but they didn't put it together until afterward. I think that's the idea of what has to be now. So what does that mean for us? So there are two drachim that you have. You have the Bezalel root, and you have the Moshe Rabbeinu root. The Bezalel route is the safer route. You go in the safe direction. You're going to keep what you have. You're going to work slowly. In the end, you'll see pairs. Right now, it'll be hard. But you're going to push yourself just a little. Not so far. Push yourself just a little. And in the end, there's something good. But there is a Moshe Rabbeinu route. And the Moshe Rabbeinu way of doing things is pushing yourself beyond what you can handle. Doing more than what you think you can do. And saying to yourself, can I can't, but I will. That's the Moshe Rabbeinu way. Of saying, I will do this. I know it's going to be impossible, but I will do this. I'm going to finish the Masechta. How in the world am I going to finish the Masechta? How many days left of Second Seder for you to be able to finish the Masechta? You will finish the Masechta. And you'll start another Masechta. And you'll finish that one. I'm going to be able to sit there and give shir? There's no way. I don't have enough time to be able to sit there and give shir. I don't know what I'm going to do. You can. What do you mean you can't? In Night Seder, take an hour, and every single week, write up a shir for yourself. Write up a shir. You want to give it over to high schoolers? Find the time to give it over to high schoolers. You want to say it on Shabbos? When you go to a Shabbos table? Find something. And work on it. And do something. That it's not just you sit at a Shabbos table and you hear other people say Divrei Torah. You make a kinyan in your own Torah and you allow yourself to become the person that stands up and says, here's my Dvar Torah. I have something to say. I want to do it and I want to say what my Deah is. And you work hard. If you only have a half hour, push it to 45 minutes. You'll find 45 minutes. You'll find an extra 15 minutes. You only have 45 minutes? Push yourself to go do an hour. It's not yelling at anybody here. Why is this space matters empty? At 10:05, 10:10. I grant it, if you need sleep, you need sleep. That I'm not going on. But why? Why can't it be that we have people that are sitting here until 10:30? If not, until 10:30, 11 o'clock. Mishmor. A mishmor. That we could add on. So what are the ideas? Okay, so I can't do that. So why not a little bit earlier in the morning? Say you're here at 6:30 or 6:45. Can we do that? I'm asking. Can we be Moshe Rabbeinu? Yes, we can. We 100% can. We just have to push ourselves a little bit further than where our boundaries are and say, I can do this. I can do this. Am I going to be tired? Oh yeah. Will I have to drink another Coke or a coffee? Probably. And you know what? You'll survive. You know, I heard a great muscle. Want to hear a great muscle? We'll end with this. The guy really wants to exercise. So he says to me, I really want to run from 6 to 7 a.m. in the morning. I say, you won't be able to do it. You'll be dead tired the rest of the day. You're going to fall asleep. It's not going to be worth it. And he says, no, I really want to run from 6 to 7 a.m. and I'll make sure I'm not tired. So he does it, and he's not tired. That's a Moshe Rabbeinu. Now push that for learning. Do it the other way. Wake up from 6 to 7 and learn. How about I? From p.m. Let's go p.m. Do it that way. Let's see. It's not just Bitzalo. We got to start putting Moshe Rabbeinu into our lives. We've got to start pushing in that direction.